This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
I used to ask everyone the same question at the end of the Entrepology Podcast. As part of our KPIs, I wanted to know what people's morning routines look like. And then I stopped asking the question for a while. I stopped asking the question not because I wasn't curious, but because I had this slight sense of shame around the fact that my morning routine had fallen apart. I have three kids currently under the age of 10, but when this started 2 years ago, we shift all of those down 2 years. I had a two-year-old, I had a five-year-old, and I had a seven-year-old. And as much as I tried to have the consummate morning routine, I just couldn't make it happen. Well, fast forward 2 years and a lot of stress later. And what I realized about my morning routine was not that I couldn't make it work because of the age of my kids. It was because I was trying to copy the morning routines of all of these other people, these people without children, these people whose kids had grown up, these people who had full-time help and support in their life. So what I want to take everyone through today on the eve of Adult New Year is the framework for my new morning routine, something I hope that you're going to be able to use in your life as well. Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So happy Adult New Year to all of you who are hopefully one day soon sending your kids back to school. Ours keep getting pushed back week by week, but it hasn't negated the fact that the cool, crisp evenings of August and the slight changing of the leaves up here in Toronto are really making me start to slip back into this time of year where I feel like everyone gets back on the bandwagon with respect to routines. We're all looking for a little bit more organization. And despite it being 2020, I think all of us are in a position to be able to start to create a new level of routine. There is a new normal, also known as chaos. But I think one of the things that combats the anxiety of our current climate is having some steadiness to our day, some predictability to our day. We as humans need a few things. We need assurance. We need patterns. We need routine, our adrenal glands in particular. But psychologically, we also do well with a little bit of challenge, a little bit of change. 2020 has provided that to us in spades. And so as I talk to parents and friends and people heading back into the school year or back to work, there's an undercurrent of anxiety. And for me, what it inspired was this need to really sit down and start to practice and execute on a morning routine that gave me control as I started my day. And this really came to a head for me as I spent the last 10 days of the summer with my three girls alone, just the three of us, doing a 10-day road trip around the province, visiting various family members who we hadn't seen because of COVID, and we wanted to see them before we headed back to school. And not having access to my routine, not having access to just a little bit of time on my own, not having them have access to their toys and their space, it really showed and demonstrated for me how quickly things can spiral out of control when we don't have that semblance of continuity. And so I'm getting back into my Adult New Year just like all of you, which means I'm getting back into my routine. And so there really were, and I'm going to take you through it, but there really were sort of a few key learning points that really struck home for me as I was away with my kids and I didn't have access to some of these predictable elements. And the first was this: I need alone time at the start and the end of my day. I love my children, but I found myself repeatedly saying, "Mommy just needs space. I need a physical perimeter around my body and I need a psychological perimeter. I just need some time that is alone and quiet." And I used to watch my mom do this when I was growing up. She'd get up at that point, it seemed like ungodly hour, And she's someone who likes to sleep in. But she'd get up routinely so early before the rest of us, and I didn't understand it. And now, as you totally do once you have your own kids, I totally get it. So I need alone time at the start and the end of my day. And these are real musts for me. These are things that just help me maintain my psychological state. I realized that planning reduces anxiety. I already knew this, but it was a reminder to me. I used to fight excessive planning. I used to fight excessive, you know, strategic planning, all these things. I was like, oh, it's going to break my creativity. It's not going to let me go with the flow. Total opposite. The more you plan, the more you have your routine laid out, in particular with respect to your time, the more you're going to be able to create space to do that creative work. I came up with this limiting belief that I needed to have unlimited space and no planning so that I could be creative when I didn't have kids and I was early on in my business. But now that I have so many demands on my time, if my creative time and my alone time isn't actually in my schedule, no one respects it. So I have a code word for my creative time on my calendar. My husband thinks I have an appointment, but really what I have is time to think about my family, about my business, about being creative, because I'm inherently a creative person, but I need space to be able to do it. So planning reduces anxiety. And so as we're talking about morning routines today, one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do is plan it out. Plan what you want your morning routine to look like. The third thing I realized is that exercise is the most important part of my creative process for my business. I have yet to ever return from a run or getting off the Peloton or working out where I haven't been like, oh, I had an amazing idea that emerged during that time. A lot of people talk about getting ideas in the shower. I don't get ideas in the shower, probably because I'm just trying to like rush through so the next person can get in. But for me, exercise is when that creative flow starts to happen. Nothing else can access me. There's a theme here. I seem to need some space. So exercise is one of those things that is an absolute must for me. It actually accelerates my business. I can measure the direct ROI in terms of creativity when I'm exercising or not. It doesn't mean it has to be hardcore, but it means I have to create space to do it. So cue in my morning routine. So as I mentioned in the opening, I've struggled with the morning routine piece for a long period of time because what I tried to do was apply everyone else's morning routines to what I was doing. And I don't know why I did that. It was that perfectionistic part of me. It was the coming out of school, paint by numbers way of thinking. And I had to stop. I had to stop and go, okay, how do I approach this from a critical perspective? I know what my primary needs are. I need alone time. I need to be able to plan and I need to be able to exercise. And so when I sat down to craft my own morning routine, I didn't start with, okay, well, what are all the things that the highest performers are doing? Because I frankly don't know what's going on in the lives of those highest performers. And having worked with high performers for most of my career, what I also realized is sometimes they tell you they're doing things and they're not always partaking in it themselves. So I really wanted to, before I reattacked my morning routine this time around, and I really got back into this halfway through the summer. So before I did my 10-day road trip, I got really clear on what I wanted. So here's what I wanted out of my morning routine. I wanted it to facilitate for me more focus. I know I needed more focus during the course of the day. And I started to document the things that were pulling me off track. My phone would pull me off track. Notifications would pull me off track. Lack of exercise would definitely pull me off track. And here's the other one. There's two more. There's mess in my physical space would pull me off track. I'd be like, there's a stack of envelopes I haven't opened. I better go and open those. Or, you know, I know that there's laundry sitting on my floor. I got to throw it into the, like, I need my physical space really clean. But I realized that the digital version of having laundry on the floor of my closet is having emails unattended to in my inbox. And anyone who's tried to email me knows I'm notoriously terrible at email because I didn't plan where it's going to fit in my day. So one of the things, and I'll talk about this as I get into the productivity side of my morning, one of the things that I did is I moved email into my morning routine. Now, I struggled with this because all the experts, all the productivity people, they're like, oh, don't do that. That's not a good idea. I don't want you to do that. But what I realized for me was that I needed that time to clear the proverbial laundry from my digital room before I could start my day. So I'm going to tell you where I fit that piece in. It's totally contrary to what most people talk about, But the way that I broke up my morning routine is in anticipation of a few things that are absolute truths in my life. And this is the thing that I want you guys to realize, that if you're building out your morning routine, it has to be on your terms with respect to your goals. So I needed more focus. I wanted less anxiety. My anxiety stemmed from the fact that I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. I've got my inbox overflowing. These people want this. This person needs this. Slack messages are coming in. I'm supposed to create this. I'm totally behind on that. I had all this anxiety because I had all this overwhelm because I wasn't taking time to just sit down and review the plan I had previously created. I'm really big on planning these things out, but you need to take some time and space to review and make sure that you're on course. So my morning routine, I wanted it to create less anxiety for me. I also wanted it to facilitate greater creativity. So when you have more focus and less anxiety, you'll naturally have more creativity. But for me, the thing that I knew, and I've already mentioned this, is that exercise is the gateway to that for me. So I needed to create space for that. And the last one was more patience. So I was really aware at the end of the last school year, which for us here was like March was the last time kids were in school, that I was becoming increasingly impatient in the morning. I was upset that I wasn't getting time to get ready, that the kids were all over me. I was upset that we were late running out the door. I was just upset all morning. And then I was angry and I'd calm down and then I'd have to go back and do work. And this was time I really valued with my kids. So one of the key features that I wanted to get out of the morning routine I was creating was more patience. So those are my goals. Focus. More focus, less anxiety, increased creativity, and more patience. So let me tell you about how I've set up my morning routine, because there's four blocks to how I do it. The first block is the most critical to setting you up for success, and that is, what do you do the night before? So I believe all strong morning routines start the night before, and here's what I do. I lay out what I'm going to need. So if I know I'm exercising in the morning, and listen, we've got three kids sleeping and my husband's in the room, like, I've got to lay out my clothes the night before, or what happens? I'm waking people up, people are getting annoyed, I'm feeling anxious. Again, remember, less anxiety was on my list. So I lay out my clothes the night before and I get them out of our room so that I don't disrupt my husband at all. If I'm exercising, I have my exercise clothes. And frankly, I also pick up my clothes that I'm going to wear the next day. And then I'll just shower downstairs so that I don't wake anybody up. So the next thing is decide on your morning wake up time. When I didn't make a decision about what time I'm going to wake up and be like, I'm going to aim to get up at 6 and go to the gym, I didn't. I hit snooze until 7. So you have to make a decision about what time you want to wake up. And that's what I started to do. So there was a non-negotiation with myself. The next is no screens. I actually love myself a little bit of Netflix in the evening. I had to really watch this. So while I may spend a little bit of time watching TV or a little bit of time doing something on my device, I'm actually trying to read real books. I'm trying to find activities to do in the evening that are not sitting in front of a screen. I know it disrupts my sleep. I can see it disrupting my REM sleep on my Oura Ring. And the last one, and this takes more discipline than anything else, this is to go to bed for me between 10 and 10:30. Some of you may go to bed earlier. I probably should go to bed earlier. You don't need to message me to let me know that piece. But this is from a recovering like 1 a.m.er all the way through school and probably the first 10 years of my business. Why did I work at night? Because it was alone time. I had space. You can see that this is a recurring theme. So I'm really trying to shift it to the morning. I need absolute discipline, more discipline to go to bed at between 10 and 10:30 than I need to be able to get up at 5 a.m. So let's step into the second phase of my morning routine. And that's when I actually get up. So I've read Robin Sharma's book, The 5 a.m. Club. I've watched those hashtags roll around. There's Hal Elrod and his Miracle Morning, all these high performers talking about their 5 a.m. thing. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting up at 5. I really value my sleep. I need to be able to get time in bed. So I'll tell you, I've been getting up at 5, but here's the rule for myself. If I have kids in my bed all night and they're all over me, if somebody's sick, if things are going sideways, I don't have to get up that early. So quality sleep is going to trump getting up at that time. So if you're like, oh man, I got to start getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, how am I ever going to do it? You may have to start this morning routine process by actually working on how to have effective sleep. That might be step one for you, easing your way into this. And easing your way into it, I really encourage you to do. So when I started to aim towards getting up at 5 a.m., I didn't go from getting up at 7 to getting up at 5, because that's hard. But what I did do is I moved it until I got to 6 o'clock in the morning, sort of 5:45 time-ish. I would get up 15 minutes earlier every day. So during the beginning of the summer, I was letting myself sleep in a little bit. I'd worked really hard. I was really tired. I knew I needed a recovery phase. So I let this morning routine piece go. But when I got back into it, once I hit that 6 o'clock, 6:15 in the morning place, and slowing things down by 15 minutes, then what I did every day is I got up 5 minutes earlier. 5 minutes, no sweat. I can totally make that happen until I hit that 5 a.m. piece. Now remember, one of the keys to this being successful is making the decision that you are going to get up at 5. So that was one of the key pieces here, is that I had made the decision that 5 a.m. was when I was going to be getting up. So I get up at 5, and here's what I do. The very first thing I do is a priming exercise where I literally lift my hands up above my head and I do 20 quick breaths out while pulling my hands down, so up and down. And I do this just to start to move and invigorate my body. I also get really stiff in the morning. I sound like an 80-year-old, but I do. So this is a really good way to move. I also then just literally get on the floor. So I'll get out of the room to do this, but I'll sit on the floor, or I'll sit on the couch, or I'll throw down a yoga mat. And I will just move my body. This is not pretty yoga. This is not something planned. This is just like where I need to move, I will move, so that I really just start to feel a little bit invigorated. I will brush my teeth. And this really matters to me, because when we were renovating and moving around, often when I got up in the morning, if I went to brush my teeth, I'd wake somebody up. So I'd have to like spend the first 45 minutes with unbrushed teeth. And so now I actually really revel in the opportunity to do that. So I do my priming movements. I brush my teeth, and then I spend 15 minutes meditating. Now, time out here for a second, because I feel like I'll lose some people when I say the word meditation. I suck at meditating. So I am learning to meditate. I've tried the Muse, which I quite love, which is like a biofeedback. I have tried devices and guided stuff. I'll fall asleep in 10 seconds. I'm a very good sleeper. So I have actually invested with Emily Fletcher's course, Ziva Meditation. I really love her. I love her approach. She focuses on meditation. Meditation meets manifestation, and she works with high performers. So I was all in. She's an awesome, amazing person. And so my meditation right now is just finalizing her course and making a 15-minute window in my morning to focus on that meditation. Remember, one of my goals was more focus, less anxiety, increased creativity, and more posture. The cool thing about meditation is it achieves all of those. The other thing about meditation is that once people start meditating, they never go back. And that was one of the key features here, is that I wanted to start to put something into my routine that I could make part of a permanent change in my life. And so 15 minutes of meditation in the morning was definitely something that I could commit to. But it's a learning process. It ebbs and flows. I need different tools and devices at different times. But what I would encourage you to do on the meditation front is just explore it. Explore what that means. Maybe it starts with journaling. Maybe it starts with something guided. But if you want to start to look at putting it in, there are tons of ways to get started. The next part of my morning, so this takes me from 5 until 5:30. Then from 5:30 until 6, this is where I go upstairs. I make myself some coffee. I focus on learning, reading, and planning. So I have always purchased online courses. I'm attracted to that way of learning because I have control, but I need to create space in my day to do that. So if I'm in an active course, that time from 5:30 to 6 a.m. is when I do it. I spend 30 minutes chunking away at it. I listen to something new. It lets me really think about something. It gives me a little sense of focus. So I will do that in that window. Or if I'm reading something, so currently right now, I'm doing the meditation course. I'm not doing any other courses, but I am reading a really compelling book on copywriting. Probably not your thing, but I'm reading it, totally loving it. I do it in that window in the morning over my coffee, and I wrap that up leading into 6 by reviewing my day. I need 5 minutes to make sure that the actions over the course of my day and my big rock goals for the course of the day are on track with respect to what I want to get done that week. I make sure I have no meetings coming out of left field, but I spend that time really setting myself up. If I'm currently running on time, excuse me, and I hit that 6 a.m. window, from 6 to 6:30, I open my inbox. Now, all the big productivity experts are going to be like, abort, abort, jump off, like red alert, don't do it. But here's why I do it. It's the messy laundry on my computer floor, and I want to check it and clear things out. So I get in there. I've got some really cool settings in my Gmail so that I'm not seeing all sorts of distracting emails. I'm not in my promotions folder. I'm not reading any of those things. I'm making sure there's nothing that requires immediate action, nothing that is going to surprise me over the course of the day. I delegate the emails that I need to delegate. I get back to the people that I need to get back to quickly. And then at 6:30 in the morning, I close the email down. I will not open my email again, usually for the rest of the day. Those who are trying to reach me, you're like, I don't think you open it more than once a week, but I do things in that window. So I always reply to one or two emails that take me a little bit more time, and the rest are getting things out of my inbox and responding as needed. I feel like when we have more time, we take more time. So I give myself a really short little window and then I go exercise. I feel like this order really helps me. It may not help you, but let me give you insight as to why I do it. I do my email from 6 until 6:30, and then I finish up with exercise. One is a practical reason. If me moving around exercising is going to wake up my kids, I'd rather it happen here than at 5 a.m. So Robin Sharma's 5 a.m. Club, which is a really cool book. If you're wanting to get into this, it's a really great place to start. He likes to start with exercise. One, I want to warm up to it. Two, I am not risking my kids joining me for this morning routine that I've got going on. They are not welcome in my world at 5 a.m. So I move my exercise a little bit later. So 6:30 in the morning, I head into exercise. It also, the second piece is that it helps me discharge any of the stress that I carried from my emails. I don't want my email and other people's problems penetrating my focus for the day. I do find jumping on the bike is really great for that. It's gone. I release it. I refocus. I've got a hit of dopamine, and then I can go immediately to the shower. So I really get the most out of those 2 hours in the morning. I am focused. I feel like I've already been productive. I know exactly where I need to execute, and I don't have all of the distractions hanging over my head. I'm not feeling guilty because I didn't show up the way I wanted to show up as a parent. I'm not curious about who needs access to me from my inbox. And as I get going, and as I move into the next stage of my life, as my kids get a little bit older and more self-sufficient in the morning, I may become one of those people who, with their morning routine, finds that they can chunk out the biggest piece of productivity of their day before 10 a.m. But it's not where I'm at right now. And that's what I want to leave you with as we wrap up this episode. I love having this morning routine. It gives me back power. It gives me back control. It gives me back my time and my space. But I built it on my terms, in my way. So if you're looking at getting into your own morning routine, really starting to solidify these pieces out, where I'd encourage you to start is in what your goals are in terms of how you want to feel over the course of the day and how you want to be able to execute over the course of the day, and then work backwards from there. I'd love to carry on this discussion. I'd love to hear from you what you're building into your morning routine, how you are making it work. Like always, we are going to carry on this discussion over in the Entrepology Collective Facebook group. That's where you're going to be able to hang out with other high performers just like you as we tackle everything from parenting to morning routines to supplementation to, gosh, you name it. The things that are important to us as female high performers, we are chatting about it over in the Entrepology Collective. I would love to see you there. And until next week, I will challenge all of you guys to try out your new morning routine. Give it a go. Get clear on what you are looking for, and we will see you again next Tuesday morning. The Entrepology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Entrepology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Entrepology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Entrepology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there.